Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, Neil Coulong joins us. Sir, welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine, as usual. I enjoy a baseball season, which the Yankees aren't relevant. That's just me. Not America, everyone feels that way, but a lot of people do, to be honest.
The vast majority of America does agree with you. Matt thinks everybody's a Yankee fan, and no. You know a lot about Trey Lance because of the North Dakota State connection. It has been a struggle on this level, and part of it has been injuries, and now he's with the Cowboys. As somebody who followed his career at North Dakota State and understands what his physical quarterback tools happen to be, are you surprised it's been an issue for him?
We'll say this. I mean, you can't argue with the black and white. I think, what is it, three other quarterbacks in the modern era have been drafted in the top five and not made more than 30 starts in the NFL after three seasons to be released by their drafting team. It doesn't look good, but we knew Lance was coming into a very unique situation at the lower tier level and inexperienced. I mean, there are not too many guys, I don't think anyway, that have been drafted like Trey Lance. For him to go into the system that he did, a highly advanced, very quarterback-heavy structure, passing offense, physically he was tailor-made for it. We weren't sure how quickly he was going to be able to adjust to everything. You know, NDSU did some pro stuff. You know, they ran a kind of an older pro-style offense, so it's not as if he wasn't going to be able to operate from out of center. It's not that he couldn't read a defense and make a multi-tiered throw, multi-tiered decision on throws. More of the issue is, and I've said this often in this segment, like Mike Tomlin once said, it's not that he's raw, it's that he's inexperienced. The fact that Trey Lance had the bulk or all of two of his seasons to date cut short due to injury was the absolute worst-case scenario for him. So if we are looking at this as a failure of Trey Lance or a mistake on the 49ers' part, I think it's only reasonable to evaluate the fact that he had barely any time. You know, in many ways, he's kind of still a rookie. He was behind the eight ball in experience anyway. He was brought in not to start immediately. They were going to bring him along, but he couldn't practice. So it's up to the player in many ways to get better, and I get that, but you can't simulate 11 on 11 with Nick Bosa off your wing, making throws down the field to George Kittle. You're not able to simulate that on your own with your passing coach. I don't think his career is over. I understand where the 49ers are coming from. They need to keep – they're a Super Bowl contending team. They need to put their best foot out there. And the fact is, the starting job was won by the outlier of outliers, you know, the opposite of Trey Lance in right, in many ways. Brock Purdy, in, you know, two training camps now, has gotten the full complement of reps. He got more than Trey Lance has to this point. Purdy has more starting experience than Trey Lance does. They have a better body of work from which to evaluate him, and that's the ultimate irony of the whole thing. Lance has been there longer. He was a much more coveted pick. They traded away a lot in order to get him, and they probably don't have a great sense of who he is. I think it just became a numbers game, and really what it says is Purdy is going to be our guy. That's the decision that they're making. I can see why they would do that. I don't know if Dallas is the best place for him, for a variety of reasons, one of which being a quarterback's coach, head coach combination that hasn't really produced a whole lot recently when he didn't inherit a situation. I don't think it's over for Trey Lance. I do think, though, he's going to get caught in the wash and he really needs to find a place in which he can compete for snaps and he can put the work in with the full unit and get constant physical as well as mental coaching on how to play the position. I don't think he's had the combination of those things beyond his rookie season, which now was a while ago. So I get where it's coming from. I'm not going to call him a bust. He got hurt. I mean, you can't really ignore that part of it. People want to. They want blood. They want to dunk on him. I don't think that's fair, to be honest. I understand that I'm kind of, biased in the situation, but I would say this about anybody. He didn't practice. He didn't have the opportunity to get out there and really grow and develop, which he needed to. You know, this wasn't a Power 5 four-year starter. He's the opposite of that. So what he really needed, he didn't get. So I don't know if we really know who he is as a player yet or if we'll even find that out.
I'm trying to think if we talked about the college experience factor. I think we might have, right? Because Purdy was a four-year starter. And Lance had a year and a game. And you can be a short-time starter, go to the NFL and be fine. But I think I've noticed over time the guys that were longer-term starters, at least 2 years, especially at a high level, seem to perform better at the pro level. Am I missing anything on that?
I think it's a fair statement overall. Without the numbers being in front of me, it really kind of depends on how you want to define each level of success within that.
Right.
But the reality is, when you have a full body of work like you do with Brock Purdy, you know exactly what you're getting. And what's unique about him, and it Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated, highlighted this leading into the draft, after the draft, after Purdy had the success that he had at the pro level, they knew who he was as far as a college player, and with that, you can come up with a reasonable, though subjective, opinion as to what his ceiling is going to be. Purdy took it upon himself in the offseason to improve, and the reality is, when you watch him, even in preseason games, versus him in college when he was at Iowa State, he's a considerably better player.
Yes.
So, credit, that's not normal either, but we're also living in the era in which Josh Allen became 400% better in one offseason. Mm-hmm. These things can happen. They're not normal. You don't want to bank on it. But Purdy, he improved himself tremendously from where he was. And you have to think the basis of that is experience. Because let's be honest, Brock Purdy is not the best athlete you're ever going to see. He's not terrible, but he's not a very good athlete.
Right.
He knew enough about the position to take to the coaching they were giving him. In other words, he's starting at the 400-level class, not the 100-level class like Trey Lance is. Trey Lance is 10 times the athlete, has a much better arm, a better build, the intangible, coachless things. You want to build up from that, and that's not unusual at all for the pro level. But when you have a college quarterback who's been through the ringer on everything, mentally he's dealt with it all, emotionally he's gone through the peaks and valleys of everything, physically his body is a lot stronger. 5 years in a college nutrition lifting program is going to benefit a guy athletically. The question usually is, it's not where he is now, it's where he's going to be. And that's why guys like Brock Purdy are not particularly valuable, because they're seen as having hit their ceiling. But Purdy he's improving at a level that you kind of expect from a much younger quarterback when he gets the reps. So it's almost like he's a combination of both. My opinion, and I'm a big fan of Kyle Shanahan. I really enjoy watching his teams, the way that they conduct themselves, the way that he calls a game. I think he's brilliant. But you have to give the credit to Purdy, just simply because players don't take it upon themselves to improve that much from the position that he was at. And good for him for doing it. That's remarkable to see. But he absolutely is not your normal 23, 24-year-old quarterback. They would have had to have had a much higher level of collegiate success for a team to want to take even the Mr. Irrelevant pick chance on him. So maybe that's going to come back into vogue here. When you look at the situation following Trey Lance, which, again, I'm not going to say he's a bust, but the worst possible thing that could have happened to him happened to him and the team gave up a ton for him. Zach Wilson never looked comfortable as a pro. Incidentally, neither did Sam Darnold, in my opinion. Another player that came out early that was highly touted for the physical traits. It makes you wonder. You look at what Bill Belichick is doing in New England right now. You know, he's making his best effort to drive the price down on the quarterback market. He's got two backups on the practice squad and one starter on the active roster. Experience has to count for something, and perhaps coaches are saying, we can do better with the quarterbacks because, frankly, we're not going to get Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen is a fluke scenario. Nothing against Josh Allen, but you're not finding that guy every day. That's a completely unusual situation and circumstance. At some point, you're going to have to develop a player to do well. And this is funny because I don't want to act as if, you know, Kirk Cousins is on the level of Patrick Mahomes, but you know what? He wasn't Marcus Mariota either, if we want to look at the structure of that show. Look at what Cousins has done. He's just simply improved. He had a body of work. He wasn't, you know, a premium prospect. He was drafted literally to be a back quarterback, and he's going to end up being one of the five highest-paid players ever to play the game by the time he retires. There's something to be said about internal improvement, and when you get a player that you feel can develop along those lines, maybe it's better off doing that instead of constantly throwing darts at the board trying to get the physical freak to turn into a higher level player than what they probably are.
The Steelers appear to be better positioned today than they were a year ago. Is it just because of Kenny Pickett, or is it more to it than that?
That's a great question. I was talking about this with people before. I think there's a difference between the team improvement as well as the fan perception of it. The fan perception of it, my take, is probably fueled more in we have a quarterback that actually showed us, you know, he gave us reasons to believe that he can be a good player. I don't, to put it mildly, think that was the case this time last year. You've got, along with that, though, you have... I'll say it now to go to the 10,000-foot level. I think it's pretty clear that Omar Khan is the front runner for Executive of the Year. The way the Steelers look, the moves that he made were so precise, and they fit so well with what they were trying to do, what they have been trying to do. You can't do anything but kind of stand back and applaud. That's not to say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I've stressed this since day one. Isaac Seumalo couldn't be a better fit for what the Steelers are trying to do. He's going to be a Pro Bowler. Whether or not he's the best guard in the game is irrelevant. He is going to execute so well for what they do, it's impossible to not link his success with the team's success in whatever area that is. They added depth along their offensive line, which has been a problem. He just got draft picks for two guys that reasonably could have been cut. You know, that's a power move to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They were the team that had to acquire guys like at the level, not them literally, but at the level of Kevin Dotson and Kendrick Green. They had to plug those guys in. They don't have to do that anymore. It feels like panic moves aren't being made. It feels like they are taking strong steps forward now. Pickett is a part of that, and Pickett is probably the ringleader of that, but he's not the only part of it. You know, locking up Alex Highsmith long-term, I don't think is something that everybody expected to happen necessarily, but he's a very, very solid player for what they're doing. Quan Alexander is a late acquisition, and from what we saw at least in preseason, guy can still move. I mean, he's athletic. Maybe it is just an injury thing. For them to have been able to bring him in, put it this way, last year he was Miles Jack, and they paid Miles Jack five times as much. And Alexander looks twice as fast as Jack has, who just retired, by the way. Hats off to him. I always loved Miles Jack. He was a great player, but he was done. I mean, you could tell he's not the same guy. Every move that they've made kind of seems to compound a reasonable level of optimism of what they've built this entire offseason. So, to me, I think there is way more to be said about the entire roster, but you know, Joe Sweat Sox Steelers fan is absolutely going to view Kenny Pickett as the embodiment of all of that. And that's fair, too. You know, we saw a lot of good things from Pickett. I don't tend to like to have to, you know, hyper-analyze results in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, what we saw, it's almost like you could hear the game plan going through Kenny Pickett. This is the preseason. Cut it loose. See what you can do. He reared back and chucked a couple of those balls that he absolutely throws that he absolutely would not have taken last year for what we saw. And he hit them right on the money. And guys made plays after the catch. We didn't see any of that last season. It seems like there's a level of confidence and swagger that's coming out of one of the more dismal offenses, certainly over the first half of last season. It's hard not to take notice of that and pin it on a quarterback that has guts, that people want to follow. He's going to get in there and go after his opponent. I don't think we've really seen that the last couple of years in Pittsburgh. It's refreshing. And I think they're, again, I don't want to look at the results, but the success that they had in the preseason, to me, really came from a sense of confidence, probably more than anything else. And that's going to bode very well for them early on this season.
When you look at the division, it seems on paper balanced. Do you look at that as a balanced division? I'm not going to say the Super Bowl champion comes out of that division. I'm not. But how balanced is the division?
I think it's competitive.
Yeah.
Baltimore's never a bad team without, you know, wheels falling off, which happens to everybody at some point or other. Cincinnati's obviously a good team, though I would argue they've been a much better January team than September through December to this point. They're beatable is really what I'm saying in the regular season. They're not the juggernaut that Kansas City has been. Those three teams are very close to each other. And while I'm done making predictions about positive things for the Cleveland Browns, at some point they really should be able to make more hay out of the lineup that they have than they have been. I don't necessarily think they're quite the pushover that we saw them turn into over the last, four or five games last season. They can and should compete just on the talent that they have alone. It's not I don't expect them to draft in the top five this year. In the future, who knows? They're the Browns. But
yeah.
Between Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, I think you've got three good football teams that are going to give each other fits. And I think with that, their records are going to be down because they're going to, you know, beat each other up quite a bit over the six games that they're going to share between those teams. And with it, it's going to be a very tight race down the end. I think 10 wins can win that division. I don't know if they get to 11, but I don't think anybody in the playoffs is really going to want to play any of those three teams, home or away. I think all three of them have the capability of, you know, throwing punches with whoever the best in the AFC is going to end up being. So in that sense, yeah, I think it's balanced. I don't know if the Browns are going to be there just because they give you so many reasons to not believe them. But three out of four is a pretty strong division. I think all three of them playoff teams. And they'll do battles against each other. I think you're going to get a lot of good football coming out of that division this year.
My friend, always a pleasure. Thanks for the adjustment. Appreciate that. Allowed Mr. Hamm and I to be in Pittsburgh yesterday. So I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
That.
Pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
All mine as always. Thanks for having me.